The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his hand around him, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
The Lord be with you. Today's Gospel gives us a very simple image of Jesus surrounded by his apostles and those apostles who had been arguing amongst themselves about which one of the 12 who was the greatest among them. Perhaps it started when Jesus, as we read last week, remember how Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to be the rock, right? You're going to strengthen your brothers." In a certain sense, Jesus did raise Peter up a little bit over the other 11. And perhaps that was what started the debate, right, among them, right? Because some of them were probably thinking, well, that can't be right. You know, Peter's always messing up, so maybe Jesus was just, you know, a little forgetful that day, and he'll remember later and things will get changed around. And who knows how the conversation unfolded, but Jesus, who knows everything because he's God, he knew what they had been fighting over. And in a certain sense, Jesus is probably a little sad, right, that all of his words and example still hadn't entered into their hearts. And you can almost see the scene. Jesus, he's there, and his apostles are around them, and Jesus questions them, and they're all sort of like a little shy about saying what they had been doing, and then they admit what they were fighting over, and then Jesus begins to say something. It sounds like he's about to really tell them which one of them is the greatest, right? So they're probably hopeful a little bit. Oh, is it going to be me, right? And they're maybe trying to get closer to get in the eyesight of Jesus and to catch his eye. And Jesus does something so unexpected. You see, around Jesus, he had the apostles, but we also know there were disciples, and we know there was many women who followed. And perhaps if there were many women as well following Jesus, there were also many children. It would have been perhaps normal for Jesus to have known that there were children just beyond the crowds around him. So he gets up and he basically pushes the apostles out of the way, goes and takes a child by the hand and walks back into the center. And as he sits there, it says he puts his arms around the child. He's holding that child. These are the arms of God embracing that child. And he just says to those apostles, "If you want to be great, you need to be like this child." I want to tell you a little bit about a child from Haiti. His name is Daftanli, a very Haitian name. Daftanli, when I first met him, he was somewhere between 2.5 and 3 years old. It's hard to tell, though, when a child is very malnourished, because they don't grow at the same, you could say, rate of a healthy child. So at times he looked more like an infant. I met him at the children's home that Mother Teresa had started in Port-au-Prince, Haiti in the 80s. And there in that orphanage, which had been you know, built for to house around maybe 30 or 40 children after the earthquake. This was 2011. It was full to overflowing. About 100 babies were there at any one time, and these were just the littlest ones. The older ones were put in different orphanages. You could imagine that room full of, there was like three different rooms, each had about 30 to 40 cribs, all of them with a little tiny, sometimes two little infants, toddlers. And it's at times a beautiful place, but when a toddler or a child comes in, there's sometimes physical signs you would see that would just tell you it was already too late to really do anything to save the child. One of them was their hair that would be normally black would go yellowish and whitish. It would just change color because of their malnourishment. There was nothing to do other than to hold that child and to keep them comfortable. Often the children are dropped off and there is no family. They were just taken in somewhere, and when they got sick, they're just left there. So this was Daftanli's situation. He was not doing well. And when I first saw that, I was thinking, as I'm looking at this, you could say, room full of cribs, realizing that many of these children weren't going to be leaving here. They were going to be going on to their eternal life. I felt really sad, obviously. It was, the world has given these children nothing. There's little Daftanli here, and of all of the, you know, people that were there trying to help, we had, you know, lived our lives. We had received so many things. We had a family and education and housing and food, and yet Daftanli had nothing. The world gave him nothing, and I was sad for that. Well, we had, you know, done a lot of work there and spent some time feeding those babies, and at a certain point they all start crying. So you, some of the helpers that were there, that in fact there was a group from Nebraska missionary college students, and there were some good musicians among them, so they started singing some praise and worship songs to sort of calm the children down. And a song that they were singing, and I was joining along with my amazing voice, right, I was there, and it was, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." It's a simple song. "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." That's how it goes. Well, it's a simple tune, right? If you don't readily right now remember it, if you hear it, you'll say, "Oh, I've heard that song." It's easy to kind of sing along. Well, they sang that for a little bit, and it was around lunchtime we left. We were coming back in the afternoon, and one of our missionaries there, his name was Connor, he picks up Daftanli and goes off by himself to a little corner. I wasn't with him when this happened, but Daftanli was breathing slower and slower, and it was apparent that it was about that time. And all of a sudden, Daftanli begins to hum and somewhat sing, "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary." Daftanli didn't speak English. He probably spoke a very little Creole, right? He didn't know maybe what he was singing, but the melody was enough for him to start singing along. And Daftanli passed away a few hours later in the arms of Connor. You can imagine Connor that evening when he was telling me this, what had happened, just that feeling that if Jesus was just there, he came and took Daftanli to a better place. The world had given Daftanli nothing, and yet all of a sudden everything changed, because while he had nothing, he had been baptized, and Jesus hadn't forgotten him. And of all of us in that room at that moment, the most blessed was this beautiful little child. And how strange it then looked for me to have felt pity for him hours before, thinking, well, I'm so blessed, right? But Daftanli's not. But everything's so different. You see, when Jesus is asking us to be like children, in a certain sense, there's a few characteristics of a child, right? When Jesus went out to the apostle from the apostles and he takes the child, right? The child, when they're with their parent, right, they'll go anywhere you want them to go. As long as you're leading, they'll follow. They don't ask a lot of questions, right? They might ask a few, but They're happy to go wherever you're going to lead them. And when you're talking to one of your little children, right, Phil, if they ask you questions and you give them an answer, they trust in you. They'll believe anything you tell them. What happens, though, is we grow up and we stop believing what we're told. We start going where we want to go, and that is a certain sense what we start doing to God. Where you say, I don't really want to go where you're leading. I don't really want to listen anymore to your voice. It's just part of growing up. In a certain sense, we all do it. And then to continue growing in our spiritual life, though, begins, we have to begin to once again listen to God. And to say, you know, I didn't want to take this path, this heavy cross to carry, but I will now. I will let you lead me. Right? The words we hear in the scriptures, perhaps they're difficult and challenging, and at a certain point when we stop resisting and fighting, we say yes to those words. All of a sudden, in the darkness, something amazing happens, like Doth Tonley singing, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. He certainly was. In the first and the second reading, James is talking a little bit about how we ask for the wrong things when we go to prayer. There's a real possibility that we live our lives just doing our own thing. Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, I'm kind of doing what I want to do. On Sunday, I come to church because I want to make sure, you know, I'm right with God so I can get into the back door at least, right? Or it's just, I mean, I did that for a long time. Sometimes I still do it, right? There's a human tendency to want to be our own person and separated from God and not have to depend on anyone. But truly, our Heavenly Father is a loving Father, right? Trusting in Him, going wherever He wants to take you, trusting in His words, that's a way that leads to eternal life. When we get to heaven, I think that these little children that I've met on the way in Haiti, they're unknown. No one knows their story. But I feel like when we get to heaven, the ones that are highest up there next to Jesus, the last on earth, will have become the first, as He says. Things will look very different there. So today I think we might even be able to sing that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. We might have our offertory hymn. I invite you to sing with all your heart, right? To put yourself there on the altar, right? To tell our Lord today, even though it's hard, I will trust you. And I will go where you want me to go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.